I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth. O God, who before the passion of your only begotten Son revealed his glory upon the holy mountain, grant to us that we, beholding by faith the light of his countenance, may be strengthened to bear our cross and be changed into his likeness from glory to glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Hear these words of Scripture. If we claim to be sinless, we are self-deceived and strangers to the truth. If we confess our sins, God is just and may be trusted to forgive our sins and cleanse us from every kind of wrong. Spirit of God, search our hearts. Let us confess our sins to God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Alleluia. The Lord has shown forth his glory. Come, let us adore him.
Almighty King, lover of justice, You have established equity. You have exalted justice and righteousness in Jacob.
Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God and fall down before his footstool. He is the Holy One.
Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They call upon the Lord, and he answered them.
He spoke to them out of the pillar of cloud. They kept his testimonies and the decree that he gave them.
O Lord our God, you answered them indeed. You were a God who forgave them, yet punished them for their evil deeds. Proclaim the greatness of the Lord our God, and worship him upon his holy hill. For the Lord our God is the
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait there, and I will give you the tablets of stone and the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses set out with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. To the elders he had said, "Wait here for us until we come to you again, for Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute may go to them." Then Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, And the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called Moses out of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
reading from the second letter of Peter. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we had been eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic message more fully confirmed. You will do well to be attentive to this as to a lamp shining in the dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by human will, but men and women moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, the word of the Lord. Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with them. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Please sit down. I come to you in Jesus' precious name. I've got 3 pages of notes, 9 slides, and a C.S. Lewis book. Hope you're comfortable. I am so excited to get to spend the next 3 hours with my St. Thaddeus family. If I was right now, Elaine Hong would have walked out. 15 minutes, and that's it. So, I should also tell you, I grew up independent Baptist. So, we'll get more to that in a minute. Can you all hear me okay? I've never had anybody. I know it's going in and out. I wonder if I'm competing with this guy. Wait, I'll adjust. Okay, we'll try this. Y'all just, there it went again. Is this guy working? Here, I'll just come over here. I may just yell. At St. Albans, anytime they mic me up, I kid you not, this is the truth. Mic goes in and out. I have that type of electricity. That's what there is to it. Okay, I'm just going to say loud. If I get too loud, I am a mom, a nurse, and a teacher. This voice cannot be overpowered. So here we go. All right. I really do have notes, and I am somewhat dependent on them, because while I am not shy, I get nervous, and at 52 years old, my mind just goes. It just goes. So I have to give you a little disclaimer. As if me growing up independent Baptist wasn't disclaimer enough, I have to tell you that I am no theologian. Education by art and by science. I am, in fact, a registered nurse. I have a license from the state of Tennessee that tells me that I can practice nursing. So I am not a theologian by any shape of the imagination. And here's what C.S. Lewis say about that. C.S. Lewis said that he leaves matters of high theology to the theologians. If he's not qualified to talk about matters of theology, much high theology or theology, I'm going to guarantee you that I am the most unqualified. I thank you for allowing me to be up here and being completely qualified. There's my disclaimer. That is the point. As our gospel reading said today, I absolutely love this gospel. And my slides backwards. I wasn't lying. I really do have my slides. "This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased." And the amplified version of the Bible says, "and delighted." I am well pleased and delighted. The God of the universe, God Almighty, who spoke those words about Jesus, his son, speaks those words to you. My beloved child, in whom I am pleased, and who gives me great delight. words from his mouth to your ear and hopefully to your heart. It is really honest, true about each one of us. When I start to write, oh, we have a little friend here. When I start to write a sermon, it feels weird to me, especially growing up the way I did, to say, to preach or write a sermon, and it feels really foreign in my mouth to say the word homily, because that to me is something that a qualified professional should do. And I may be professional, but not at this. But when I sit down to think about what I want to talk about and pray for the Heavenly Father to give me the message that He wants to have, I often try to write thread, the thread that will stitch up the hole in your heart while loosening the chains of someone else's heart. And doing that with the same thread, stitching up and loosing all together. I cannot explain to you the transfiguration, and I'm not going to attempt to. What I want to talk to you about is the absolute transfiguring power of Jesus' love for each one of us. There was a pastor in 2013 in Chicago at the Second City Church, and he said this: the point of the revelation of Jesus is not that we would reach some level of maturity or morality as an end to itself, but that we'd be transformed as individuals and as a people into being the hands and feet of Christ in the world. This is His church, His body, doing what He put us on a mission to do. And that in Thaddeus so often. This is what C.S. Lewis had on it. I wasn't kidding. I brought books. Sometimes I bring a whole stack. Sometimes. C.S. Lewis talked about hope as a theological virtue. And this means a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not as some modern people, yes, right? It's not as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things that a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave the present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that Christians who did the most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. The apostles themselves who set foot on the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, and the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade all left their mark on earth precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that we have become so ineffective. And then C.S. Lewis says this, and I think it's a bit of an unusual statement for him. This is like a marketing statement, but I thought it was pretty. It's kind of a quip. He doesn't offer quips very often. He said, "Aim at heaven and you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither." So, in thinking about hope, I was led to Emily Dickinson, with whom I have a love-hate relationship. Some people adore her poetry. I'm not one of them. She once said to her sister, and I'm so sorry if I offend somebody. She said to her sister, you know, take my poetry and burn it. She didn't want it ever published. And there have been times in my life when I've tried to understand her poetry, and that one time in particular when Maxwell, my son, was trying to memorize one of her poems, that I agreed with her because I thought Maxwell and I would never through that poem. But here's what Emily Dickinson had to say about hope in her poem that hope is a thing with feathers. She said, "Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul, that sings a tune without words and never stops at all." And I think it's really true. Hope is something that springs forward in us, but hope is something that can really be damaged if we're not careful and in this world. I looked up transfiguration, and I told Robert, I'm not saying anything to you that I haven't already said to his face, so this is not behind his back. When I looked at the preaching schedule, and I realized that he had set me on Transfiguration Sunday, that was the scripture, I just wanted him to know how very thankful I was that he set me on yet another matter of high theology, which I could not and would not be prepared to explain. He got a chuckle out of that, but I'm here, so he didn't change the schedule. Transfiguration, if you go, it's Latin-based, right? Isn't everything? I had to take Latin, 7th and 8th grade. I know all, like, you know, the prefixes and suffixes and root words. I know them. Well, I've probably forgotten most of them, but at one point I knew them all. So trans is a cross, and figura is shape or form. So across your shape or across your form, not your body, but your form. The what really makes you up. Things in my life that have changed me include going to university. That changed me. Getting married changed me. I learned how to fight. I got a new name. I learned how to give in. That took a long time. Motherhood changed me a lot. An awful lot. Those things changed me, but they did not transfigure me. I felt at one point when my children were toddlers that I transfigured perhaps into some otherworldly creature, but I lived that. And again, that changed me, but it did not transfigure me. Transfiguration speaks to an elemental change, a global radiating change, inescapable, inexplicable, incandescent, if you will. It's a change that can't be undone. So I ask myself, what can transfigure a human heart and mind? Getting our hands around and getting our hearts and our heads. Maybe we need to get our heads out of the game. I think that may be part of the truth. But around the message of Jesus, I grew up as an independent Baptist in terms of my religion. I grew up with a single mom. It was just me and my mother. And most of you would probably recognize how I grew up. For me, it was the Bill Gothard folks. You would know that now by the IBLP, or perhaps the television show 19 and Counting with the Duggars. That religion, y'all know that one? That's how I grew up. I didn't wear pants. I didn't go to movies. I didn't listen to any music that wasn't sacred. And I was expected to have a certain role in life that didn't include any education. I was pretty well expected to be a very different person than who I am today. One of the things that was often asked is, if they put you on trial for being a Christian, would they be able to convict you? I'm going to tell you, you could not convict me today if you tried. You really couldn't. I'm not a Mother Teresa. I'm no C.S. Lewis. I can be selfish. This is a real shocker, but if you make me mad enough, or if I hurt myself bad enough, I can have a potty mouth. I can. I'm adding that to my list for Lent. It's more like a scroll. I have many things. Many, many, many things. I like to be right, and I think I'm right a lot. Ask him. I also have the tiniest bit of attitude. Just the tiniest bit. I absolutely believe in Jesus. I believe he is who he says he is. I believe he did and does what he says he will do. Jesus absolutely loves you and me so much that it's inescapable, no matter how hard we try to escape that love. And I believe that Jesus loves me and you the same as he loved Mother Teresa. Will I do what she did? Absolutely not. Not a chance in this world. But I believe Jesus sees us the same. He sees me on the same plane as C.S. Lewis. Will I ever make a dent like C.S. Lewis did? Will people remember my name 50 years after I've gone on? No, they won't. I believe he loves us as much as fill in the blank of the best person you know and the worst person that you can think of in your life. Getting a hold of how completely you're loved by the God of the universe is the absolute transfiguring power of Jesus in our lives. As I was thinking about that, and thinking about human nature, I stumbled upon words from psychologist and philosopher William James. He's often credited as the father of American psychology, and I think he wrote the first, if not one of the first, books on psychology that was used at universities. He went to a little place called Harvard. He was actually a professor there for a while. And during one of his tenures, he was at Radcliffe. And he taught some ladies, as he says, because Radcliffe was the female college, he taught them philosophy. And upon completing the class, they sent him a potted azalea. And he wrote, this was in the late 1800s, nearly 1900, and he wrote this letter to them, which won't be quite politically correct in this day, but he said, "Dear young ladies, I am deeply touched by your remembrance. It is the first time anyone ever treated me so kindly, so you may well believe that the impression on the heart of a lonely sufferer will be more durable than the impression on your minds of all the teachings from Philosophy 2A. That was the class he taught them. Here's what I think is important. I now perceive one immense omission in my psychology. He's referring to his book that he wrote. The deepest principle of human nature is the craving to be appreciated. And I left it out altogether from the book because I had never had it gratified till now." He goes on to say, "I fear you have let loose a demon in me and that all my actions will now be for the sake of such rewards." He goes on to just absolutely fawn over this azalea. You can look up the letter, but he goes on and on over this azalea. But he says that he had left out the need from the human nature to be appreciated, to be loved, to be loved on. And he feared that after having felt that he would now want nothing else, that he would crave nothing else. That is also true of when you get a hold, or more likely when Jesus' love gets a hold on you. We made it through page one. It's not bad, I promise. We're coming to an end. You cannot be bad enough. I can't think of another word. Evil's too much. We often look at ourselves and think, like, I'm going to tell you right now, if you knew what went on in the gray matter of mine, you might look at me differently. If you knew my inner thoughts, you might see me come through that door and think, oh, not her again. I can't. I just can't. There was a time on Gilligan's Island when they could read each other. Do y'all remember this? About to age myself. Anyway, you know, they could read, and it wasn't pretty. But that we thank goodness most of us have a filter. We don't say what we think. We don't say what we feel. If you knew what went on my heart and my mind, you would look at me differently. You absolutely would. But Jesus does know, and he doesn't look at me differently. Perfection is a human construct. It's something that we have built up because we want to measure everything. We're numbers-based people. We want to be able to measure all things. You measure to me. Your performance needs to measure up. Does your paycheck measure up? Does your attitude measure up? Do you meet societal norms? Do you follow? Do you look the way we want you to look? Perfection is something we will never attain, and it's also something Jesus never required of us. Frank Herbert wrote, he wrote Dune. I'm sorry, we're book readers, and we're a little bit of sci-fi. Frank Herbert said in Dune, "Deep in the human unconscious is a pervasive need for a logical universe that makes sense." So logical and understandable. But the real universe is always one step beyond logic. The love that Jesus has for you, the love that the God of the universe has for you, the fact that the God of the universe looks at you and says, "You are mine, you are my beloved, and I'm pleased with you," is beyond logic. Archbishop Desmond Tutu said a lot of good stuff. I could have just stood up here and quoted him. He said, "Hope is being able to see light in spite of all the darkness." Not just darkness out here. We've had some bad stuff happen this week. I don't watch the news. I'm telling you, if something really bad happens, one of y'all should text and be like, "You need to go to the basement." You know, like if something, because I won't know until it's too late. We've had some seriously bad events happen in the first part of our year so far. I'm not talking about just the darkness you see in the world, but the darkness we see in ourselves, or maybe the darkness that we see in others. Hope is being able to see light, Jesus, in spite of the darkness. Archbishop Desmond Tutu also said, "If you want peace, don't talk to your friends, talk to your enemies." I believe he got those words from another guy you might know. I think Jesus taught something like that. Isaiah 44 and 5 says to us, and I do not commit it to memory, I'm going to read it. "Valley shall be raised, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. Let the rough ground be plain, and the rugged places a broad valley. And the glory and majesty and splendor of the Lord will be revealed, and all humanity will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." There are many times in Scripture that Jesus or God will tell us that the first will be last, the last will be first. Become like a child. All of these things, and he also tells us that everything will become the same. You and me and Mother Teresa and whoever else you consider to be good or bad, Jesus sees us the same. I have two children, and they could not be more different. They could not be more different. When Giada was a little bitty thing, she was two when Maxwell was born. And, you know, our children were adopted. And we were that couple that both times that our children were born, they didn't tell us to expect a child. We were that couple that got the phone call. "Hey, come get a baby. Your baby's here." I was a working girl. I absolutely had a career. I went to work before the sun came up, and came home after it was dark. I worked all the time. And I got a phone call that turned me into a mother. I remember going to the baby store when we still had one and scanning stuff willy-nilly. I didn't know what I needed. I had no clue. Giada didn't understand how I had room in my heart to love another baby and still love her. And I told her that God had written her on my heart, and that God had written Maxwell on my heart, and that my heart was a limitless scroll, and that God's ink well never ever ran dry. She never got a hold hold of that as a child because we want it, right? We need to be the only one. You are absolutely the only one. You are the apple of your Heavenly Father's eyes or your Heavenly Mother, however you think about God. It was hard for me to think of God as a Heavenly Father because I didn't grow up with a father. I don't know what it's like to sit in a daddy's lap or to do those things. And I didn't exactly have those things with my mother either. So it's difficult for me to think about God as a father or a mother. But I've come to terms with how I think about God. And what has been transfiguring in my life is getting a hold of the fact that God loves Tracy no matter what. Allowing yourself to accept that love is the most, the only transfiguring power on earth. I'm going to leave you with a poem. I always leave with a poem. This one is called Transfiguration by Malcolm Gate. Have you all heard this one before? Okay, I will try to do it justice. For one moment, in and out of time, on that one mountain where all moments meet, the daily veil that covered the sublime in darkling glass fell dazzled at his feet. There were no angels full of eyes and wings, just living glory full of truth and grace. The love that dances at the heart of things shone out upon us from a human face. And to that light, the light in us leaped up. We felt it quicken somewhere deep within, a sudden blaze of long extinguished hope trembled and tingled through tender skin. Nor can this blackened sky, this darkened scar, eclipse the glimpse of how things really are. It's like a spark plug. When you turn your car over and it begins to start, once you get that engine going, once you allow yourself to understand how very loved and lovable you are no matter what, these are my words, the poem ended, sorry. That's absolutely the transfiguring power of Jesus for every single part of you. In Jesus' name and by his love. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
With all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above, for the loving kindness of God, and for the salvation of our souls, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the world and the welfare of the Holy Church of God, and for the unity of all peoples, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our bishop and for the clergy and the people, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our president and for the leaders of the nation and for all the in authority, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Chattanooga, Ooltewa, Harrison, and beyond, for every city and community, and for those who live in them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the good earth which God has given us, and for the wisdom and the will to conserve it. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the aged and infirm, for the widowed and orphans, and for the sick and the suffering, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those we now name, Ava, Belinda, David, Henry, Harry and Terry, Bob, Carrie, Lord have mercy. And for those you now name,
Joy,
for the poor and oppressed, for the unemployed and the destitute, for the prisoners and captives, and for all who remember and care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who have died in the hope of resurrection, and for all the departed, let us pray for the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For deliverance from all danger, violence, oppression, and degradation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the absolution and remission of our sins and offenses, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may now end our lives in faith and hope, without suffering and without reproach, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In the communion of Jude, Thaddeus, and all the saints, let us commend ourselves and one another and all our life to Christ our God.
To thee, O Lord our God.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of that heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever. Amen." The peace of the Lord be always with you,
and also with you.
Tracy, for being with us today and sharing those wonderful words. Really was a blessing. Also, a quick reminder, good news, bad news. The good news is the youth of St. Albans are coming to share pancake supper with us this Tuesday. Now, because of that, there will be no service on Tuesday, but we are super, super looking forward to that. It's going to be our typical Mardi Gras fair, so dressed in all of your fancy clothes, come and have a good time. That's the bad news, because we know that Trove Tuesday comes right before Ash Wednesday, which starts Lent. Lent is upon us, folks. Any other announcements?
What time is this?
6:30.
And will there be the costume contest?
There will be a costume contest. Thank you,
please. Dave, I believe Shirt Tuesday is at 6.
Oh, okay. 6 o'clock.
Catherine, today, 5.
Oh, yep. Today at 5 o'clock is Catherine's going away party. So.
Yes,
5
o'clock. Loopy's on his bike.
So Loopy's. In Hickson, right?
Yes.
The one in Hickson. Don't go downtown. Nobody will be there. Well, people will be there, but nobody you know.
One more thing, because I didn't tell them to say it, so it's my fault. Sign up for March for the food pantry is ready to be signed on, okay? We particularly need people on the first Saturday in March. We are having our register retreat then. And that is going to take Lloyd and I both out of being able to be here. And we can't have Jean by herself. That's not cool. So please be sure to draw your name with particular attention to the first Saturday of March.
Let us pray. O God, you make us glad with the weekly remembrance of the glorious resurrection of your Son, our Lord. Give us this day such blessing through our worship of you, that the week to come may be spent in your favor. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Almighty and everlasting Father, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power, that we may not fall into sin, nor be overcome by adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Accept, O Lord, our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. We thank you for the blessing of family and friends, and for the loving care which surrounds us on every side. We thank you for setting us at tasks which demand our best efforts, and for leading us to accomplishments which satisfy and delight us. We thank you also for those disappointments and failures that lead us to acknowledge our dependence on you alone. Above all, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for the truth of his word and the example of his life, for his steadfast obedience by which he overcame temptation, for his dying through which he overcame death, and for his rising to life again, in which we are raised to the life of your kingdom. Grant us the gift of your Spirit, that we may know him and make him known, and through him, at all times and in all places, may give thanks to you in all things. Amen.
Be with us all evermore.